Almost everyone in here tonight, probably everyone, has had a time in your life when you've been greatly discouraged. You may be discouraged even now, but you've got it together and you're here at church on a Wednesday night. Maybe you're working with someone day by day that you're aware is really going through a tough time and seems like they're down, they're burdened. Discouragement is one of those things that I preach on this every so often, and I remind you it's one of the favorite tools the devil likes to use against people. It's just to discourage you, to rob you of your courage. And so we want to talk about that tonight. Many of you have had times as well when the Lord used someone to speak a word of life to you. There's one of the beautiful blessings of the prophetic. In New Testament terms, we're told that prophecy, it exhorts people, it edifies people, encourages people, it comforts people. So this is another wonderful benefit of being part of a prprophetic atmosphere. There are just times when you need a word badly, and the Lord knows you need a word in order to be able to come up out of that discouragement that you're in, and a word of life can come and make a lot of difference. As a matter of fact, look at this scripture in Proverbs 12, verse 25. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. Now that's the turning point in that verse. A good word can cause a person's heart to go from being heavy under anxiety to being filled with gladness. Nehemiah tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So discouragement also launches warfare against our joy, because you lose your joy, you lose your strength. It's kind of like when you unplug something that runs on electricity, well, it quits running. And our strength that we need, there's a relationship between that and the joy of the Lord in our heart. So there's warfare that will come into your life to discourage you. A lot of times circumstances cause us to become discouraged. Sometimes unmet expectations can cause you to become discouraged. Sometimes the unmet expectations, maybe you didn't live up to someone else's expectations of you, and they're disappointed, and their disappointment causes you discouragement. It can come at you in a myriad of ways, but it is very effective in shutting you down. So I want to talk about tonight, I want to talk about dismantling discouragement. And so we want to go to war against the thing that comes to war with us and shut us down. So I'm going to share a few observations with you and talk about it a few moments. But when we leave here tonight, I pray that you will be better equipped to deal with the discouragement you may be facing right now, better equipped to help other people who are discouraged. I can think of a number of times in my life when I was having a down season. Sometimes we have days where we're down a little bit, and sometimes we walk through seasons where it's like we're really warring against the thing, and a lot of times we may know exactly why we're discouraged. Sometimes you may not have a clue, and it's important for us to understand this. But I remember several different times. I remember one time when I was just in a real low place, and because of some circumstances I'd been going through, and I was in a small circle of friends. It was in a church setting. It wasn't during a service, but during the week we're having a little meeting. And we were just talking, and one of the ladies turned to me because she knew I was down. I was trying to get out from under a lot of the anxiety and the discouragement and the shame and so forth I was dealing with. And she just looked at me and says, "Pastor Eddie, we need you. We need you. We need you to be who God's called you to be." And that was a word of exhortation. There wasn't any anger behind it. There was love behind it. But I can't tell you, that went into me, and it just shifted something inside of me immediately. Just like, number one, I'm loved. I'm accepted. Number two, I'm needed, so people still believe I have something to give. And that's important because discouragement, depression, these kind of things can really get you in a spot the enemy would love for every one of us just to go out and end it. And there's been a few times in my life that the Lord has given me what an awesome privilege to be aware of someone at that place and to be used by him to help them. I remember a number of years ago, I got a phone call from the police department, and I went to the address he gave me, and there was a man whom I'd met in town, but he was in the backyard, had a .38 pistol, walking around, and just saying, I'm going to take my life. He had gotten a very bad report from some medical test. He was just really ready to end it. So they were talking to him from a distance because they didn't really know how volatile you may be. But we started talking from a distance, and finally they allowed me, and there was another lady there that knew him. They allowed us to walk over to where he was. He still had the gun in his hand. We finally got him to sit down. We sat down in a circle on the grass. He still had the gun in his hand. And we probably talked to him a half hour, just sharing scriptures with him, encouraging him. And finally he laid that pistol down. We were able to all hug and walk him out of the yard. And within 2 weeks, I was baptizing him. He had given his life to Christ. The Lord just turned things around. Unfortunately, there's been a number of times when people followed through on those thoughts. And so we need to be sensitive and aware of when the Lord really begins to lay someone on our heart like that. Now, let me share some things with you. First of all, I'm going to start with this. I want to talk to you about the in-the-grill kind of real. I'm talking about getting, you know, sometimes you want to get in somebody's grill and just be really real with them, and sometimes that somebody you need to get in the grill and be real with is yourself. Look at this scripture. Psalm 42:11, the psalmist David. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. He's preaching to himself, but he's also talking to himself. He's voicing these questions. Why am I so cast down? Why am I disquieted within? But he knows the answer. Hope in God. Sometimes we need that. We need to have that in the grill kind of real in our own lives. Just to be honest about where we are. Because we all know how to put on the plastic faces and not act like everything's good. And, you know, sometimes you do that by faith. I mean, there's been times in the past when I may not feel at my best, but I know, you know, Lord, I have the privilege of standing before the people and preaching your word. And I'm going to give it my very best, and I'm going to believe that you're going to help me. But we also know what it's like just to kind of not be honest with what's going on internally. And I encourage you to be honest. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with the Lord. That's so very, very important. Sometimes saying it can help you see it. And seeing it can help you solve it. Now, I've had this happen to me a number of times when I've had, and sometimes even when it wasn't Monday morning. that's a running preacher joke, you know. But when you know, I'm just not feeling like things are right, I don't have any get up, and it's like my get up and go is going, I gotten up and gone. And I don't know why. And I've learned to stop and ask the Lord, Holy Spirit, help me to know what's going on. Something's off, you know. Now, there can be different things. It could be something physical. You know, sometimes you may have some kind of depletion or something going on physically that some things you can do. Maybe you're not sleeping enough or you're not... I started to say something about eating, but I'm going to stay away from that right now. But, you know, there's some reasons in the natural why our body is not at its best, okay? But then there's other times it can be emotional stuff. And there's been times I've prayed and gone through the list and come to realize, get to thinking about what's happening and when it started and see a connection. Sometimes it literally can be just outright spiritual warfare. And I know numbers of times when that's been a reality. And you start, what do? You start praying. You start praying in the Spirit. You start praying. You start standing against it. You start rebuking. You get people to pray for you. And if it is spiritual warfare, what will happen? You'll see that broken off. And you'll go from 0 to 60 again. Now, that's not always the case, but that can be the case. But getting along, just being honest with the Lord about it. Sometimes it may be that you need prayer. And that's one thing I love about this house, that at the end of basically every service, there's an opportunity. If you're here and you're discouraged, or you're here and you've got a burden, that you can come up and there will be someone who will pray with you and listen to the Lord along with you and with the goal of helping and encouraging. Now, personally, you need to go to prayer, but there's other times when you need someone to pray for you. And it really can help with your discouragement. Another thing is that idea of sometimes saying it can help you see it. Now, my wife is a professional counselor. The Lord knew exactly what I would need in a spouse. But so she's a lot of her time is spent listening to people share their stuff. And as a pastor, that happens a lot because people's wanting someone they can trust just to really be honest about what's going on in their life. And that's important that all of us have someone in our life, in our circle, that we can vent, we can be honest with, we can just put it right out on the table. This is what I'm struggling with. This is how I'm being real about it. You know, sweeping it under the rug doesn't mean it's still not there. And so what's what I'm talking about, having a place to get it out in the open. And a lot of times, I remember one time somebody, I had an appointment with someone, and I had a bunch of appointments, so it was a while I could get to them, and they kept saying, well, I desperately need to talk to you. Well, I finally was able to meet with them, and I had an hour, and 55 minutes was passed, and I hadn't said a word. Not one word. And I ended up, had a prayer, and they felt so much better. You know, really, they just needed somebody to listen to them. You know? And sometimes you may need that. Somebody that's not going to preach back at you. And now we have to work on that in our marriages, don't we? Because it's taken me a while to learn that every time Mickey shares something with me, it's not so I can fix it. We guys like to be fixers, you know? Well, you just do this, this, this. It'll be good. That's not what she's needing. She's needing to process her emotions and how she's feeling. And I need to keep my mouth shut, nod my head, and so forth. We all need that from time to time. Well, I'm not married, and you may say I'm not married or I don't have someone I can do that. Well, begin to pray and ask God to connect you with someone that you can share with. That's so important. So very, very important. Do you know the Holy Spirit is called an encourager, the paraclete, the one who's called alongside us? Do you know that he's our helpmeet? But do you also know that when God created Adam, he created him a helpmeet? His spouse was his helpmeet. And so we are able to help one another and have a meeting and be able to share and process life together. And we're stronger by doing that. And that's just, we need to realize, why are you cast down, oh my soul? Why are you disquieted? One thing the psalmist is being, he's being real about what he's dealing with. And you can say, I'm not discouraged, 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 I'm not discouraged. And you might be lying. Now, I'm not, what I'm saying is you don't want to get in agreement with discouragement. Like, I'm enjoying being discouraged, and I'm going to be discouraged, and you're not going to talk me out of being discouraged. Now, I have met some folks like that, too. You try your dead level best to encourage them, and they just aren't having it. They don't want to be, they, you know, I don't know if they are identifying with it, and they like the address or whatever, but it's hard to encourage somebody if they won't let you. But you need to let yourself. And there are times you can literally encourage yourself, like the psalmist did. And you can say, even if you're discouraged, what you can say is, the Holy Spirit is encouraging me. I'm reading the Word of God, and it's encouraging me. And what you're doing, you are taking the truth, and you are jackhammering that discouragement out of your life. Don't focus on the discouragement, because when you're saying, I'm not discouraged, I'm not discouraged, I'm not discouraged, you're focusing on discouragement. Focus on what will encourage you, and that will displace the discouragement. Now, please don't hear me saying there's any value whatsoever by saying you're discouraged as far as making that your identity or agreeing with it, but I am saying you need to be honest about what's really going on, because you're not, the Lord already knows, and He's got the answer. It's like when you sin, the Bible says you should confess your sin. I've sinned. And when we do, and we go and press this Lord, then He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. If we're honest about it, if we agree, yes, Lord, I did this. And that sometimes if you're in discouragement, it's keeping you from doing the will of God. Lord, I confess the sin of discouragement. I've been discouraged and it's holding me back. Let me move on to the next one. I want to talk about exposing the lying that keeps you from trying. And here is another scripture for you. In Joshua, this is when Joshua is leading a new generation of the children of Israel across the Jordan. He says, be strong and of good courage, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Be strong and of good courage. Now, why would the Lord exhort them through Joshua to be strong and of good courage? Because they probably were struggling. They remembered what happened before when they almost went into the promised land and 12 people came back and said, there are giants there and there's fortified cities and we're like grasshoppers and they're giants, and a whole generation cycled the wilderness until they dropped dead because of that unbelief. And most of these folks were young people when that happened. But they still had to overcome the fear associated with that. And the Lord is encouraging them. Be strong and of good courage, for the Lord your God is with you. Now, when I say, deal with the lion that keeps you from trying, going back to the statements I made just a little earlier, sometimes you're trying to encourage people and they won't let you. This is kind of what that looks like. You're sharing, you need to find you some scriptures, and you need to begin to declare those scriptures over your circumstances. Because Joshua is declaring the word over them. Be strong and of good courage. Why? For the Lord your God is with you. You're not being asked to do this solo. The Lord's with you. He's going to help you. But what happens sometimes is somebody, you may say, well, here, I want to share this scripture with you. And this is what you need to do, and this will help strengthen you. How do I know that? Because this is what God's Word says. Your Word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against God. Your Word tells me that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So there's some power in that. But you share that with somebody and they say, well, I've already tried that. That didn't work. Well, you need to pray this prayer and look at it this way and start praying this. Well, I've already tried that and that didn't work. Well, let me share something else with you. Get you two or three people and come into agreement together. There's really power in prayer. Oh, I've asked a lot of people. I already tried that. That's what I'm talking about when I'm saying you need to quit, deal with the line that keeps you from trying. Because what you are saying is God's line. He said, you can do all things through Christ who is your strength. So there's no place for the I can't. Well, I tried that. It didn't work. So you want me to believe your word or his word? So this helps expose the lies. Now, it doesn't say, if you'll just quote this verse one time, you won't ever have to worry about that again. No, you have to hide it in your heart. It has to become engrafted into your soul. You have to hide it in your heart and speak it out your mouth and stand in it in faith. Not one time, not 10 times, not 100 times. Who knows the number of times? But just like a seed you put in the ground, you just wait on it. You wait, you wait, you wait, and there'll be some life start springing up. That's God's part. But don't say, I tried that and it didn't work. Let God be true and every man a liar. And that's you if you're saying that. So deal with the line that keeps you from trying. You have to keep at it. The good war of faith. Don't give up. Don't quit. If you will be not weary in well-doing, you will reap if you faint not. The galaxies are held together by the Word of God, and it'll hold your life together as well. You can build your life on it. Jesus encourages us to build our life on what the Word says. You're like a man that builds on the rock. So don't give up on what God says will work. Keep trying it. Put it to the test. And keep putting it to the test. That's that bulldog, tenacious stubbornness that the Lord can bless when you're clinging to the Word and not letting go. So, if I'm discouraged, I need some courage. Be strong and of good courage, for the Lord your God is with you. I can take that verse wherever I go. Lord, I thank you in the middle of this battle with discouragement that you are with me, and because you are with me, I can be encouraged. I take courage in the fact that I am not alone as I'm facing this. I may feel like I'm alone. I may feel like I'm invisible. I may feel like no one cares. I may feel like everybody's walking away, but you're still here. You're still God. You can do all things. With you, all things are possible. And I'm receiving courage through that. You might just preach yourself into some encouragement right there pretty quick. Because you are bringing your life into alignment with the truth of God's Word. And listen, but when you're in the middle of it and when you're down and out, it's hard. And that's where you need people praying with you. You need to be sharing with them. Would you pray with me? You know, I give you permission to jack me up. Help me. Now, choose to examine your excuses to see if they can stand the word test. The excuses I'm talking about is why God's word's not working. Examine that. See if it'll pass the word test. You remember earlier I said there's some warfare involved in this? And it's a warfare around the lies we believe about ourselves. And I believe to an extent there is a lifelong journey for each of us where the Holy Spirit over time in God's loving, gracious ways shows us lies that we believed. Things we're not seeing correctly or truthfully about life, about God, about others, and about ourselves. It's a lifelong process. And we need to be honest before the Lord, and we need to say, Lord, help me identify any lies I'm believing that's keeping me in this place. Because I guarantee you that the enemy can send a spirit, and sometimes it's a spirit in human skin, to speak into your ears and tell you why you're not worth anything and why you'll never measure up and why you shouldn't expect the God to do anything for you and how you've known other people that tried that Bible stuff and it never worked out for them. He'll be faithful to send his emissaries to preach gospel means good news, speak his lies to you. So that's where we can be better of speaking life and joy and health and peace into the lives of other people. Thirdly, reject the enemy through your new identity. Now we're narrowing the focus because this is one of the strongest and most powerful things that any of us can do, and that's to marinate in the Scriptures and really fill your heart and mind with the truth of what the Bible says concerning who you are in Christ. One of the greatest studies you can do. You see, the more you understand about who He is, then the more you're able to understand about who you are in Him. As a believer, your life is hidden with Christ in God. The Spirit of God lives in you. You've been adopted into the family of God. You are more than a conqueror. And you may feel the opposite of that tonight. But you've got to learn to not choose to live by how you feel, but live by what God's Word says. And that will change how you feel. When the Lord told him, be of good courage, and, you know, for I'm with you. I want you to take the land. Here's what he didn't say. Joshua, get them together, and you tell them. Now, y'all wait right here until you feel like it. Till you feel like you can achieve the victory. You just wait till you get to feeling like it. It's going to be a long wait. Because it's not about feeling, it's about believing, it's about your faith. Now, this is the way it works in our human families, our children, and I know there can be dysfunctional examples where this may not hold true, but I'm talking about God's design, a loving father, loving mother that's raising their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. This will hold true a lot of times, even in families where people don't know the Lord. What I'm talking about is children know they can ask Daddy and Mama for anything, especially the younger they are. And if they get scared, they know they can run straight to Daddy or Mama. In other words, they're the people that nurture them, take care of them, that they look to, that they believe everything they tell them, is their parents. Now, as they grow older, you know, that's going to be challenged, right? But little kids, they believe what Daddy and Mama tells them, and they trust Daddy and Mama, and they depend on them. And we need to have that childlike faith toward our Heavenly Father. That's our new identity. We are children of God. We are sons and daughters of God. And He loves us unconditionally. He totally accepts us. He fully forgives us. The plans He has for us, they are good and not evil. And just like He said in Joshua, the verse in Joshua, for I am with you. He is with you tonight. But I feel so lonely. You are not alone. He is with you. He is with you. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Think of this verse. And this, there's so much in this verse. But I want to put just a little maybe new spin for you in relation to this message tonight. How often are you discouraged because you're dwelling on old things? Things from the past. Maybe things that happened in your life before you became a new creation in Christ Jesus. Have you noticed how the enemy can dredge those up? Can you notice how maybe when you get tired or weary or there's some conflict going on, it's those kind of thoughts that try to come up? But here's your scripture. No, when I got saved, those old things, they're past. I'm a new creature. I got a new identity. My software has been upgraded. All the viruses have been removed. I'm not who I was then. The enemy wants you to revert back. Try to get you into agreement. Oh, you just think you changed, but you really haven't changed. But you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. The way you defeat the enemy is through your new identity. Because if you, notice what it says, if anyone is in Christ, you are in Christ. Let me prove what I'm telling you. How many battles did Christ lose with the devil? How many times did he fall into temptation? How many times did discouragement drive him out of the will of God? Never. And you are now in him. You have access to everything that enabled him to overcome. That's now in your life. You have access to that. So the discouragement is trying to create a barrier between you and what's true about you. So the more you know your new identity, the more you're going to be able, more quickly you're going to be able to overcome these obstacles and hurdles when they present themselves. Let me finish up with the last statement. When faith steps up, then courage shows out. To be encouraged means you have courage in you. Courage rises up. Courage begins to manifest in your life. When do we usually say somebody's courageous? I mean, when do we usually use that kind of terminology with someone? That was very courageous of you. Excuse me? Yes? They're overcoming some type of fear most of the time. It's some type of fearful situation that they've had to overcome. Like a fireman or a policeman or soldiers and the courage. Like those guys flying those B-3s, you know, the courage, courageous and heroic, those type of things. It means that they had to overcome fear. And the truth is, most of us at times are fearful, but courage enables us to overcome the fear and step out in faith. Otherwise, no courage is required. No big deal. Why do you need courage? Because there's a lot of fearful circumstances and situations and stuff that you have to deal with in life, and courage enables you to overcome those. But what I'm saying with this statement is, you have to believe that and put your faith in that. And I think the biblical record will show us that it's the step of faith that activates the courage we need. So it always boils down to that most of the time, that what you believe is going to determine how you behave. And when faith steps up, then courage will show out. So if you're discouraged, choose to believe differently. Because the battle is just becoming becoming stuck, becoming hindered, stepping back, giving up, giving in, letting go, moving away from what the Lord has for us. But when we realize what the Word says about who we are and we're looking at circumstances and we're thinking, I can't do that, it's too much, I'm overwhelmed. And all of us at times have to deal with this. When that's happening, no, this is what God says. And this is who God says I am. So I'm going to believe what He's saying. And I'm going to step into it. And then things will begin to shift. The courage will begin to manifest. And you will be encouraged. And that's the reason to encourage others, we need to learn how to pray with them, pray the Scriptures over them, speak God's truth into their life, and do it in love, and do it in kindness, and do it with mercy, because you may be needing it next week. And we shouldn't make things more difficult for people to receive because we're delivering it wrongly. We're helping them by delivering it more correctly, more lovingly. Sometimes it may need to be firm, but always in love. Amen? So, Father God, tonight I pray in the name of Jesus that You would help us to dismantle the discouragement that may be in our lives. And Lord, whenever it knocks at our door, may it be met with the truth of Your Word, with us taking steps of faith. Lord, please show us any lies that we're clinging to, holding on to, any wrong ways we're using Your Word. May we walk in the freedom that You died on the cross to give us, that's available to us, that will help us, Lord. I want you to stand with me for a moment. So play some music. Oh, Holy Spirit, I pray in these moments that You just begin to move on hearts in this room. If you're here tonight and you're carrying heaviness, maybe there's some hopelessness in your heart. You may just feel emotionally exhausted. Right now, in this moment, it's the time for you to respond. This is speaking to you. I just ask you to come forward for prayer as our prayer team members make themselves available. And Father, I pray for any who come forward and those who are praying for them that Your Holy Spirit would release encouragement. May it be received by faith. Step out from where you are. You don't have to leave the same way that you walked in this room tonight. There's strength that often comes when you surrender. There's joy, the Bible says, in His presence. Anxiety of the heart may cause depression and discouragement, but a good word will make your heart glad. So I invite you to come tonight. If you need prayer, if you need a good word of encouragement, are there others? Feel free to come forward. Are there others? Oh, Lord, just love on people tonight across the room. And maybe those of you standing out there that you could take a moment to pray for someone that you know who's struggling. Perhaps the Lord would lay on your heart to make a call or send a note or share a text, pray a prayer, or make a visit. There may be someone around you right now. Just feel free to do that if you're so led. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. May we hide it in our heart and be strengthened by it. And may we become encouragers. May your Holy Spirit encourage others through us, Lord. Lord, as we make ready to leave this place tonight, open our eyes and increase our sensitivity to those around us. May we be people who share words of life. May that prophetic anointing rest upon us to exhort, to comfort, and to encourage. And Lord, may this Tennessee Valley be flooded with the joy of the Lord and courage to do the will of God. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you for being here. This altar area remains open. If you need prayer, come on up. God bless you. Thank you for being here on this Wednesday evening. Appreciate it very much.